We're continuing our series in Sugyos of Kashrus. So the last couple of weeks, we spoke more a little bit in terms of introduction to Kashrus, some of the basic principles that govern all of halachas of Kashrus. Now we're going to get into a little more specifics, and the first of these sum that we're going to deal with is the issue of bas b'cholov, perhaps the most common application of things that happens in our kitchen. Even though the Gemaras and the Shulchan Aruch speak a lot about if a little bit of nevela falls into your pot of food, a little bit of chaza falls into your pot of food, hopefully that's not taking place in our kitchens. All the mix-ups and all the problems, all the confusion in our kitchen and kashrus has always been in the realm of bas b'cholov. So I thought we'd speak a little bit, a little introduction to what exactly bas b'cholov is, what perhaps bas b'cholov isn't, min ha-Torah, min d'Rabbanan, and then hopefully branch out to some very real applications of this b'zman hazeh. So in terms of understanding bas b'cholov, there are two terms that we must define. One is this week's shiur, and hopefully one is the next week's shiur. The first term is basar, and the second term is cholov. So today's shiur is going to be hagdaras basar, just to define properly what exactly that term meat, what exactly basar means for the purposes of bas b'cholov. So in the first of the Maimakomos, the Mishnah Maseches Chulin Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph quotes the following discussion: Rabbi Akiva Omer, Chayev Of Eina Min HaTorah. Rabbi Akiva tells us that neither Basar Chaya nor Basar Of, Basar Chaya meaning a wild animal, Basar Of, of course, meaning a bird, poultry, neither of these types of what we call meat are really considered to be Basar on a level of Deraisa, namely the Issa Deraisa of Bishul Bas B'cholov, both cooking Bas B'cholov, eating Bas B'cholov, benefiting from Bas B'cholov, all the different issur of Bas B'cholov, min HaTorah, do not apply either to birds or to wild animals. They only apply to domesticated animals. They only apply to goats, as explicit in the Chumash, or sheep, or cow's meat. But anything which is not behema of a gedi, a keves, or a shor, para, is not considered to be Bas B'cholov D'Araisa. I didn't say that was mutter, just said Eina Min HaTorah. So any case of non-Basar Behema is not going to be a problem, at least on a level of D'Araisa. How did Rabbi Akiva know this? Because it says in the Chumash three times, Osevashal Gedi B'cholov Imo. So the word Gedi, a goat, which is the model for Bas B'cholov D'Araisa, the word Gedi is coming to exclude three different things. It says the word Gedi three times. One is coming to exclude Chayas, one is coming to exclude Ofos, and one is coming to exclude Behemoth Temeah, Chazamid, etc., would also not be subject to Bas B'cholov. Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer, Rabbi Yosef Glili seems to come to the same conclusion as Rabbi Akiva, albeit from a different source. Nema lo sochul konaveila, penema lo savashik di b'cholovimo. It says in the Chumash, two Isurim, one right next to another. One is the prohibition of eating nevela. Nevela is meat that wasn't shechted properly. And then the very next breath it says, don't cook meat and milk together. Don't eat meat and milk together. So I would have said, Esha asa b'shum nevela asa levashel b'cholov. I would think that the dinim of asa b'cholov apply to anything that's potentially nevela, namely all kind of meat. Of sha'asa b'shum nevela, just as of is subject to the dinim of nevela, you have to shecht birds. So I would think that of, which is subject to the dinim of nevela, is subject to the dinim of asa b'cholov. Yachol yei asa levashel b'cholov. Since the Torah describes Bas B'cholov as cooking meat in its mother's milk, so even though we know that it doesn't apply literally, Tosh Rapeh explains to us it doesn't apply literally only to its mother's milk, but it has to be a species that has that supplies milk. So only mammals give off milk. Birds don't give off milk. So therefore, birds are excluded from the parasha of Bas B'cholov on the level of D'Araisa. So both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Glili came to the same conclusion that chicken, turkey, etc., those things are not Bas B'cholov D'Araisa. Any shahs we're going to have, afleishiks and milchiks, in terms of birds, is all going to be mid-Rabbanan. Mid-Araisa, it's not either for Rabbi Akiva's source, because the word Gedi excludes it, or Rabbi Yosef Glili saw us that the phrase Cholov Imo excludes it. So the Gemara asks the question in the second of the Maimakomos, Rabbi Yosef Glili, Omer Nemelo Sochlo, Ma'ika bin Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Akiva. At the end of the day, they're saying the same thing. Ma'i Nafkimina, what's the difference whether they're learning out from one Pasuk or another Pasuk? If they both agree that Bas B'cholov D'Araisa doesn't apply to Ofos, what's the difference? So the Gemara suggests that maybe one nafkamin is ikimenayu chaya. What would the din be in terms of wild animals meat? Let's say a deer, venison. Would that be bas b'chov deraisa or not? So Rabbi Yosef Glili saba chaya deraisa. According to Rabbi Yosef Glili, chaya would be deraisa because chaya provides milk. It's a mammal. So then there would be bas b'chov deraisa. Rabbi Akiva saba chaya derabanan. Rabbi Akiva had a drush, a gedi. Gedi comes to exclude ofos and it comes to exclude chayos. So according to Rabbi Akiva, besar chaya b'cholov would only be midirabanan. That's the first answer. Ibai Seima, not so relevant for us. Most of us are not eating deer's meat with milk. Ibai say, but no, here's a real nafkamina ladina. Of ikabedayo. There would be a nafkamina lahalach in terms of ofos. In what sense? Rabbi Akiva sava chayev of einon min haTorah. Hamid derabbanan asirei. The lashon of Rabbi Akiva was that chayev of a nadia raisa. The implication is the nadia raisa, but they are mid derabbanan. There is a prohibition mid derabbanan of besar of bechalav. Rabbi Yosef Glili sav. Rabbi Yosef Glili, who didn't say that it's also mid derabbanan. Of a filu mid derabbanan nabilo asir. It's even permissible mid derabbanan. According to Rabbi Yosef Glili, it's muta lechetchila to take a slice of, take a piece of chicken, take a piece of cheese, put it together, cook it together, eat it together. Everything's mutar according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, not only min haTorah, but it's even muta mid derabbanan. So this is quite a startling statement. Rabbi Yosef Glili, Tana would hold that the dinim of bas mecholav, even mid derabbanan, don't apply to chicken. So the Gemara says you're right. That was in fact Rabbi Yosef Glili shita, and we have a source to support that. Tani nam yoch, we have a brayse that tells us that in fact that is how Rabbi Yosef Glili paskin. Bimkomo shu Rabbi Eliezer, your cursed eitzim lasas bechavim lasas barzel. Bimkomo shu Rabbi Yosef Glili, ochlim besar of bechalav. The brayse teaches us, tells us stories about two places which follow their particular rabbanim in shitas and in opinions that have long been rejected lahalacha. We no longer follow either one of those two opinions, but in those days, in the days of the Tanoim, these issues were not yet resolved. So one of the stories was, nothing to do with that topic, but the first story was in the place of Rabbi Eliezer, they paskin like their Rebbe, like the Rav Rabbi Eliezer, who held that when you have a bris on Shabbos, not only are you allowed to do the actual bris on Shabbos, but you are allowed to do all preparations for the bris as well. For example, let's say you don't have a knife. You realize Shabbos morning, we don't have a knife. So Rabbi Eliezer says, no problem, make a knife. How are you make a knife? You have to melt metal. You have to make a fire. We don't have any firewood. No problem, says Rabbi Eliezer. Cut down trees, make yourself a fire, melt the metal, do the malach of Kaitse and the malach of Machabe Patish and the malach of Havara and Bishop. You do a million malachas, everything's mutter, in order for the end result, getting a knife to do the bris milah on Shabbos. That's Rabbi Eliezer Shita. And Rabbi Akiva disagreed and said, if you would do that, you're a machal Shabbos deraisa. According to Rabbi Akiva, the only thing you're allowed to do is the actual bris itself. Doing the milah itself is taka deraisa. That the Torah permits. All preparatory stages, everything else is awesome in a Torah. So it was a machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. We have long paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Nobody today would ever follow the view of Rabbi Eliezer. If you did, we would consider you to be a full-fledged Bechal Shabbos deraisa. But in the days of Rabbi Eliezer, the issue was not yet resolved. So in the town of Rabbi Eliezer, they followed his opinion. And the Braisa says, that's okay. The Braisa writes, that's perfectly all right. That's nothing wrong with what they did. And similarly, in the town of Rabbi Yosef Glili, they used to eat chicken and milk together, and there was nothing wrong with what they did, because they followed the view of Rabbi Yosef Glili. If somebody would do that today, we would say you're in violation of an Issa Gomer. You're violating the Issa Derabban of Besar of Becholov. But in the days of Rabbi Yosef Glili, it was not yet resolved, it was not yet paskin that way, and therefore his Talmidim were free to do as the Rabbi had paskin. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, in his Akdamot Igros Moshe, quotes this Gemara and says, you see from this Gemara that even though in later generations it was already Nimnu Begomer, was already decided against Rabbi Eliezer, it was already decided against Rabbi Yosef Glili, the job of Rabbi Eliezer, the job of Rabbi Yosef Glili, was to decide what they thought the correct halacha was. So Kozman, that it wasn't what we call Amdu L'Minyan, there wasn't an official formal vote rejecting those shitas were viable shitas, and there was nothing wrong with following them. Once the shita became rejected, the halacha, then it can no longer be resurrected anymore. So that's where Moshe writes, that he's with great trepidation, he's writing a Sefer Igros Moshe, he's about to paskin Shailos Vov of Klal Yisrael. Maybe he's going to paskin something incorrectly. Maybe he'll paskin wrong. So Rav Moshe says, that's not the job of a Paisek. The job of the Paisek is to decide what he thinks the halacha is, lefi ra'os einav, lo b'shamayim hi. If according to him, it appears this is what the correct psak halacha is, so the Baruch Shalom will give him schar, and the Baruch Shalom will reward those who follow the psak. If it turns out, in 100 years from now, they vote against him, so it's not 100 years from now. We'll deal with 100 years from now. Right now, ein l'dayin l'masha einav ra'os. And I paskin what I think is correct. And Rav Moshe goes on to say, that's assuming that he's someone who's royal kach to paskin, and then he goes and tells you what credentials are necessary to paskin shailos. But again, not for right now. But I'll call upon him. You see from this Gemara that in the days of Rabbi Yosef Glili, they really held that it was mutter in his place, it was mutter l'chadchil di pesar of b'chalav. We obviously do not paskin this way. Nobody ever paskins this way. But it sounds like we do paskin like the other Tanoim, that at least it's also only mid-rabbanan. Is there anybody who disagrees? Is there anybody who holds that Basar Oaf is Mamish Asim in HaTorah? So the third of the Mamakomos, the Gemara presents that possibility that maybe neither Rabbi Yosef nor Rabbi Akiva is correct. Maybe the real halacha is that chicken and milk is Mamish HaDeraisa. So comes the Mishnah on the third of the Mamakomos in Chulin Kuv Gilma Mebeis. Kola Basa Asal of Ashal B'cholav Chutzbi Basar Dagam B'chagovim. The Mishnah starts out by saying, all meat is all meat is considered to be also to cook together with milk. The only exception is besar dagim. Fish is permissible with milk, and chagovim, locusts, arbe, those who are still eating chagovim these days, would be permitted to have it together with milk. And then the Mishnah continues, v'asa l'halos imagvina l'shulchan. Not only are you prohibited to eat all these different kinds of meat together with milk, you're not even allowed to have it on the same table. When you're eating your meat, you're not allowed to have cheese on the table. When you're eating your pizza, you can't have meat on the table. This is a gezeira, lest you come to eat bos b'chov together. And this applies to kol ha-bosa, all kind of bosa. So the Gemara comments on the third line of the Mamre Kamos, from the fact that the Mishnah lumps it all together, and the Mishnah says, kol ha-bosa, all meat is osar, ha-of osa mid-deraisa. It sounds like the Mishnah is equating all kinds of meat, whether it's a meat from birds, meat from animals, all meat is also in the Torah. Kemando lo Rabbi Akiva. This Mishnah sounds like it doesn't follow Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva ha'amachayv of enam in the Torah. Rabbi Akiva is the one who said that besar of is not midaraisa. So it sounds like we have a stam Mishnah that disagrees. So the Gemara works it out and says, no, it's not really true. You can read the Mishnah in a different way. Maybe the Mishnah is supporting Rabbi Akiva. It's not clear. So the Gemara did throw out the possibility that maybe there are Tanoim out there who disagree not only with Rabbi Yosef Glili, but they disagree with Rabbi Akiva as well. So basically we have, when all the dust settles on these three Makoros, it turns out there are three different opinions in the Tanoim. What is the status of Basar Of B'cholov? What is the status of chicken and milk, turkey and milk? What is the din? So according to one extreme, Rabbi Yosef Glili, it's mutter l'chatchila. You can do whatever you want, chicken and milk, everything's mutter. That's one extreme. You have the other extreme of the Tanakama, possibly, or perhaps the Shit Zachacham, and the other Tanoim, who hold that Basar Of is mamish diaraisa. It's the same as regular flesh from an animal. And then you have the middle ground, the view of Rabbi Akiva, that min haTorah it's not Basar, but min haRabbanan it is Basar. So how do we paskin halacha? So basic question, the ABCs of Basar B'cholov. Do we paskin chicken and milk with diaraisa? Do we paskin as diRabbanan? Do we paskin as mutter? Which one do we paskin? So the Rambam has a whole discussion about this Shaila in the context of a much greater question, but the Rambam is discussing the general relationship between the Araisas and the Rabbanans. So the Rambam in the fourth of the Rambam Kamos, it's a critical Rambam, not just in terms of the technicalities of the Sugya, but it's critical in terms of understanding Psach Halacha. The Rambam in Huchas Mamre and Perek Beis Lachates makes the following observation. Hol v'yesh le-beis din ligzor v'lesa davra mutter. Since a Beis Din, a Gadol, has the authority to make gezeiras, to prohibit things that were otherwise permissible from the Torah, v'yamar isur l'dayras, and they can make an issur d'rabbanan that lasts forever and ever. So they can make muktzah, and they can make bishalachim, they can make whatever they want. They can make isur d'rabbanan if they feel that it's necessary. So then the Ram continues on a little bit. Let's skip to the end of that line. Ma'u zesh yezira Torah lo sosi v'lo v'sigra v'menu. What does this mean when the Torah says don't add on to the mitzvahs? But the Chachamim do it on to the mitzvahs. The Chachamim eat on all the time. The Chachamim make Yisurim, Dirabban, and Muktzah, etc. The Torah never said Muktzah is Asur. The Chachamim said it's Asur. Isn't that a violation of Bal Tosef? You're adding on to the mitzvahs of the Torah. That's the way the Rambam formulates the question. So the Rambam continues. So, So the end of the first line. Ma'u zesh yisirat Torah lo sosif alav asigur imenu. What that means is as follows. Shelo lahosif al divrei Torah v'lo ligro man v'lo gvodah v'lo olam b'dov shim b'natorah bein t'tosh b'chsab bein t'tosh b'apeh. What that means is as follows, says the Rambam. Chachamim do have the authority to make gezeiras, but they have no right to present the gezeiras as dinim min haTorah. What does that mean practically? Keitzah, says the Rambam. The Rambam could have picked any gezeirah under the sun. He picked our sugya. Keitzah. Hari kosav haTorah lo sevashu gdi b'chol avimu. It says in the Chumash, you're not allowed to cook goat together with its mother's milk. So if you just read the Pasuk Kepshuta, if you would be a karoy, be a tztuk, you didn't believe in Tosh HaBapeh, so you would walk away from the parasha by saying, what the Torah prohibits is to take a goat and to put it into its mother's milk and cook it in a pot. That's all the Torah says is also. So says the Rambam, that is very far from the truth. Whenever the Rambam uses the phrase Mipi Hashmo Lomdu, that always means we have a tradition going back, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Mipi Hashmo Lomdu, we have learned from tradition, Shezeh HaKosov Osa Levasha V'lechol Basa B'cholov. So first of all, even though the Torah only says explicitly not to cook, the Torah Shabbat explains to us the same is true for eating. So even though if you look at the Chumash itself, it never ever says don't eat basar b'chalav, but the Torah Shabbat says that's exactly what it means. And similarly, the Rambam continues, Bein b'sar behema, bein b'sar chaya, aval b'sar of mutta b'chalav ben haTorah. Even though the Torah only speaks about goats, it's lav dafka goats, it means sheep also, and it means cows also. All of the above would be asa min haTorah. However, b'sar of happens not to be asa min haTorah. So now the Rambam says we have all the information that basar behema is asa min haTorah, b'sar of is min derabbanan. Im yavay based in viyati b'sachay b'chavrei zegereya, v'im yesor b'sara of, v'yomeshu b'chlal hagdi, v'u'as b'natorei zemotsif. Says the Rambam, if a basin will get up and say that the Torah says don't eat chicken and milk together, that will be a violation of Al-Tosif. You have to present the Torah in its truth. Bein l'kula bein l'chumra. You can't change Hashem's word, that's a violation of Al-Tosif. So we have to tell people as follows. Min haTorah, the Isser is only b'sar behema, only a sheep, goats, cows. But the Rabbanon, there's an Isser of b'sar ha'of. We, as the Rabbanon, added it on as a gezeir, as a decree to protect the din deraisa b'asar b'chalav, that's perfectly okay. But to misrepresent the halacha and to present it as being a din deraisa, that's a problem. Aval im amar b'sar of mutta min haTorah, what we should say is that b'sar of is mutta min haTorah. V'anu nesa osav in odia la'am shu gezeira shloidava min hadover chova, that people shouldn't come to make a mistake and think that b'sar behema is mutter. So that's great, says the Ram. That's perfectly acceptable. That's what the Chum have the authority to do. So the Rambam has just redefined for us the prohibition about Tosif. The prohibition about Tosif includes this idea that when Chazal make gezeiras, they have to be careful how they formulate the gezeiras. If they formulate the gezeiras properly as gezeiras, that's okay. If they misrepresent them as dinam deraisa, that's a problem about Tosif. The Mefarshim point out that the Rambam got this from the very first gezeira that was made in history, way, way, way before Abbas B'cholov came on the scene. There was a gezeira made by Adam HaRishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam HaRishon, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. So Adam HaRishon and Chava, they decided it's a good idea not to touch the Eitz Hadas either. That's a pretty smart gezeira. If you don't touch it, you won't come to eat it. But what happened? When the Nachash comes to them and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't touch the Eitz Hadas. What did they respond? They said, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yeah, lo sigul bo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't eat it and don't touch. That wasn't true. That was not correct. The only thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu said is not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. They added on as a gezeira not to touch, and they misrepresented the Dvar Hashem. When you misrepresent the Dvar Hashem, then you're asking for trouble. So that's what the Nachash, he came in and he said, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you not to touch. Hey, you see it touching, nothing's happening to you. Well, you see from here, you can touch it, you can eat it also. So if Adam and Chava would have said, no, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't eat, and we're adding on our own, not to touch, that's perfectly okay. That would have been an authentic gezeira. That would have been a valid gezeira. But they misrepresented the Dvar Hashem. They forged, in effect, the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the problem. So the Rambam says that halacha applies to all dairis. And the example, par excellence, that the Rambam gave was the example of Besar Of Becholov. So according to the Rambam, there is no question that we paskin, like Rabbi Akiva, Besar Of Becholov is onamid derabbanan, if that is the example that the Rambam chose to highlight this halacha. Nevertheless, not everybody agrees to the Rambam. There are some Mishnayim who maintain that Besar Of is in fact Bas B'cholav, even mid the Araisa. So we're probably wondering, what's the big deal? The Araisa, the Rabbanan. At the end of the day, we're not going to do it anyway. We're from, we're keeping Shulchan Aruch. Who cares? The Araisa is the Rabbanans. And I'll tell you, you'll see a big nafkamin ladina whether something is the Araisa or the Rabbanan. If you take a look at the fifth of the Rambam Kamos, so Tosis is commenting on a statement in the Gemara. The Gemara says that not only is one not allowed to cook meat and milk together, but mid the Rabbanan, the Chachamim prohibited any eating of meat and milk together, and they even prohibited, even if you're not literally eating it together, if you're eating meat first and then you want to subsequently eat milk, drink milk or eat cheese, that's also a problem. That's what the Gemara calls Os achol basa lo yachol gvina. Hopefully we'll talk about that in future weeks, why exactly Chazal made that gezeira. Either we're afraid of meat stuck in the teeth, or afraid of taste of the meat in the mouth, whatever the reasons for. But we, of course, colloquially call a person being fleshiks. Where did that come from? It came from this Gemara Maseches Chulin. Achol basal yachol gvina. If a person ate meat, he has to wait X amount of time, whatever it is, before he's permitted to eat cheese and eat melachiks. So in the middle of that sugya, the Gemara throws out the possibility that maybe that din of waiting doesn't apply to a chicken. It only applies to meat, not to chicken. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that that is in fact the case, that there's no need to wait at all. You had a piece of chicken, first day chicken for dinner, you can have ice cream for dessert, no big deal. As long as you don't eat it mamash together, you don't have to wait. So Taisus writes on the spot in the fifth of the Ramakamos, V'ha'olam nahagu shelo le'echol gvina achar basa klal v'afilu achar of. So says Tosus, nobody does this. Every kid knows you have flesh chicks, you have to eat chicken also. Ivy, the Gemara doesn't seem to say that. So Tosus explains, V'yafagav the Tani Igra, even though we have a Braisa taught to us by Igra, that's the name of the Braisa, the name of the Tan and the Braisa, who taught us that ofu gvina nechalam papikurin, you're allowed to eat cheese and chicken all together. It doesn't matter, you don't have to wait at all. The mashma of tchila, dilma mishum desava besar opu cholav lav deraisa. Maybe the reason why the Gemara quotes such a brayse and it's so lenient that you don't have to wait, that Tana was assuming that Rabbi Akiva besar opu zonim derabanan. For lo kaimelon hochi, says Taisus, the reason why nobody today would ever dream of eating milk immediately after chicken is maybe we don't pass like that brayse. Why? Because we paskin, says Taisus, that besar opu is deraisa. So since we paskin besar opu is deraisa, memela, we have to equate Oaf with behemah. So this Tosus is a startling Tosus at many, many different levels. First of all, Tosus really said what the Rambam said was about Tosif. The Rambam said that if you tell somebody that Besarof is their Isa, that's terrible, that's an Aveira. Tosus said, that's what we hold, Allah, we pass like that Tana, that Besarof is their Isa. And then the second Chiddush of Tosus is because we pass it, Besarof is their Isa, therefore you have to wait between chicken and milk. La halacha, we don't accept this taisus. We paskin la halacha like the Rambam. Most of the Rishonim paskin like the Rambam that besar of is in fact only midrabanan. That is the reality. Besar of is only midrabanan. What should follow logically is therefore we shouldn't have to wait after chicken. So we have to wait till to wait for a few weeks till we get to that sugya to figure out the other reason in the Rishonim why we in fact do wait after chicken, even though the Gemara seems to say that you don't have to. So a kopanim, we have a conceptual machlokes, a somewhat academic machlokes hatanoim. What exactly is the status of Besar Of? According to Biyosek Luli, it's Mutal Lechatchila, not even Derabonan. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's Anissa Derabonan. According to others, it's Anissa Derais. And now we have to break that into Rishonim as to how we paskin. Most of the Rishonim side with the Rambam, that's how we accept the halacha, that Besar Of is in fact only Midrabanan. When we speak about the Basar, in terms of defining Basar B'chalav, so remember one of the things that we got mentioned very quickly by Rabbi Akiva is the word Gedi three times. And the word goat, the word gedi three times teaches us that besar of is not the araisa, besar chaya is not the araisa, and besar chazi, besar behema tamei is not the araisa either. If you cook chazi together with milk, I didn't say you could eat it because it's chazir, but you the iser bas b'chalav doesn't apply. There's nothing wrong, there's nothing asar with cooking chazi together with milk. All of Bukhas bas b'chalav doesn't apply to chazir. Now the question becomes, most of us are not going to have that shayla of cooking chaz together with milk, but what if it's not quite chaz? What if it's not a pig, it's not a species that's treif? What if it's a kosher species of animals, but it just happened not to have been shechted? So, lamaisa, it's treif. On the other hand, it's not chazir. What does the halacha say about that? Is that considered to be subject to the rules of basar b'chalav or not? So this now becomes a very, very real shayla halacha lamaisa for us in the following scenario. There are three things you're not allowed to do with basar b'chalav. You're not allowed to eat bas mechalav, you're not allowed to cook bas mechalav, and you're not allowed to derive benefit. All three are also in the Torah. So what I want to know is, if I have non-kosher meat, non-kosher in the sense of it's a kosher species, it's cow's meat, it's steak, but it wasn't from a shechted animal, is that mixture of non-shechted cow's meat cooked together with milk, does that create a problem with bas mechalav or not? Obviously, I'm not going to be eating it because it's not kosher meat. But I want to know, can I derive benefit from it? Because besar nevela is mutter b'hano. There's nothing wrong with getting benefit, deriving benefit from besar nevela, meat that wasn't shechted. But if it's called bas b'chalav, then it would be a problem. So you're probably wondering, who cares? My nafkamina, when is this ever going to happen? It happens all the time. Anyone who owns a dog or a cat is well aware of the shayla, should be well aware of the shayla. Most of the dog food, many of the dog foods on the market are actually made of bas b'chalav. Their meat, their steak, their basar, beef, whatever it is, that's cooked together with cheese, cooked together with milk. The question is, can I go ahead and buy this bag of dog food, feed it to my dog? Is that considered to be a violation of the raisa of being nenemi basar b'chalav? So the chora, it depends on our shayla. If you hold that once it's not kosher meat, so even though it came from a kosher species animals, once it's besar nevela, so that's ois basar b'chalav. There's no basar b'chalav on that. So then I would be home free, then it would be okay. If the answer to the question is no, that since it's a kosher species, therefore it is subject to basar b'chalav, even though nobody's going to actually eat this meat, but not only can I not eat it, I'm not permitted to derive benefit from it as well. We have other applications of the shayla. Let's say a person wants to derive benefit from, for argument's sake, from a cheeseburger. Is there anything wrong with that, deriving benefit from a cheeseburger? Who's going to derive benefit from a cheeseburger? Person wants to work in McDonald's. Let's say, assuming, putting aside Maharis Ayin issues, he wants to work in McDonald's. What if he wants to own part of a McDonald's? That may be a whole different, complicated shayla. What if a person got gift certificates of some McDonald's and he wants to give it to a goyish, a co-worker or something? These are potential being nene from basar b'chalav. Are these kinds of mixtures considered to be basar b'chalav? So on the one hand, the kosher species of meat. On the other hand, l'maisa, McDonald's is not getting shechted meat. So what's the din? So the sugi begins for us with the sixth of the Ma'amar Kamos, the comment of the Rambam in Hilchos Bechos Asuras, Pektes Lo Chavav. The Rambam is paraphrasing a Gemara. The Rambam writes, "Avala mevashel besar mesa o chelev v'chayotze behen b'cholov." So you need little dots there. If a person either takes besar nevela, or he takes chelev, the forbidden fat, from a kosher, properly shechted animal, and he cooks those kinds of things together with cholov. So comes the Rambam and says, "Loka al bishuloi." The person is chayiv malkus for bishul basar b'cholov. These things are subject to basar b'cholov. But the eino loka alachi lasa mishim basar b'cholov. But he's not chayiv malkus for eating the basar b'cholov. So what's pshat in the Rambam? How can we split between the bishul and the achila? So the Rambam explains, she'ein isa basar b'cholov chal al isa nevel or al isa chaylev. Says the Rambam, because we have a principle in halacha called ein isa chal al isa. Once something is also for reason X, so then reason Y can no longer take effect. So over here, I had a piece of besar nevela, not shechted meat. So the Torah already says it's a davashal issa, it's a cheftishal issa, I'm not allowed to eat it. Now I go ahead and I cook it with milk, so I want the second issa, we want the second issa of basar b'cholov to take effect. How can the issa of basar b'cholov take effect in something that's already previously also? Once issa X was already chal, namely besar nevela took effect, there's no way in the world the second issa can be chal. That's what's called ein issa chal al issa. So comes around and says, vis-a-vis achila, when it's concerning achila, so achila, it was already also be achila mitam nevela, so the issa basar b'cholov can't take effect. Vis-a-vis bishul, there's no issa to cook besar nevela. I'm allowed to cook non-kosher meat. I'm not allowed to cook basar b'cholov, but I'm allowed to cook non-kosher meat. So comes around and says, concerning the issa of bishul, there's no principle of an issa chal issa. It was never also in the first place. So we have a strange psak, a strange split lahalacha, says the Rambam, that if you want to know, is there basar b'cholov in these kinds of foods? You have besar nevela with milk. Is that called basar b'cholov? The correct answer to that question is, depending concerning what? Which aspect, which dimension of basar b'cholov are you asking? If you're asking concerning bishul, the answer is yes, there is basar b'cholov. If you're asking concerning achila, then the answer is no, there is no basar b'cholov. Now comes the multi-million dollar question, the case that the Rambam left out. What about concerning hana'ah? What would the din be about being nehneh? So here the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, Nuchas B'chol Zasurus, is silent on the matter. The Rambam doesn't tell you what the din is. That's the only issue that interests us. We are not, none of us are flipping burgers, making cheeseburgers. None of us are eating cheeseburgers. But we want to be nehneh from the pet food. We're not making the pet food, but we want to be nehneh from the pet food. So what's the difference? So whereas in Hilchos B'chol Zasurus, the Rambam is silent about it. In Perisha Mishnayis, so the Rambam discusses it in a little bit more in detail. In the seventh of the Ma'amar Kamos, so basically the Rambam, if you take a look to the fourth line in the Rambam, by the period, Vatshuva al zeh, Shabasa b'cholav nesa ba'na, mipnei she'asru ha'kosav li'achila. Comes the Rambam and says, the Isra Hana does not exist in a vacuum. The Isra Hana is an extension of the Isra Achila. If and when we could paskin that this is asa b'achila, then we're free to paskin that it's asa b'ana. If and when we had, for whatever reason, paskin, it's not asa b'achila b'tam basa b'cholov. If the isra basa b'cholov didn't kick in for whatever technical reason, ein isra chala l'isra, then the isra b'ana will not take effect either. So this Rama will be very, very helpful for us in terms of all of our shaylas. A person wants to know, can they be nene from a cheeseburger? So the answer is, yes. You know why? Because there's no isra achila basa b'cholov on the cheeseburger. I didn't say you can eat it. You can't eat it because it's besar nevela, but there's no iser achilas basar b'cholov because ein iser chal iser. Once we paskin up ein iser chal iser, the corollary of paskining ein iser chal iser is to paskin there's no iser achila, and the male, the corollary is there's no iser anoa either. Again, according to the Rambam, the pet food. We have to first ask it, is there an Isra Achila? And the answer is no. There's no Isra Achila's Bas B'chalav on pet food. You can't eat it anyway because it's Pesach Nevela, but there's no Isra Bas B'chalav because there's Ein Isra Achila. Once there's no Isra Achila, so Mamela, there's no Isra Ano as well. Not everyone agrees to this Rambam. Some Rishonim may disagree with the Rambam. In the Poskim in Shulchan Aruch, they quote this as a machlokes. A machlokes lahalacha, what the din is in all of these cases. Because of this, so we strongly recommend that people who have pets should really look into getting non-bas b'chalav pet food. So they, how do you get non-bas b'chalav pet food? So one suggestion is to get pet food that rather than using beef, use this chicken. What's the mile of using chicken? We paskin lahalacha, chicken is on a midirabbanon. So we assume whatever's bas b'chalav d'araisa is prohibited by Hanah also. Whatever's only bas b'chalav d'rabbanon, like we pass like the Ram against Tosfos, is mutter b'Hanah. So that's one option. So in fact, there are certain hashkacha, certain national hashkacha organization that they used to, and it could be they still do, they give a hashkacha on particular pet food, particular dog food. They are not certifying that it is kosher. It says it quite clearly, we are not certifying that it's kosher. We are certifying that it's not bas b'chalav. It's made with chicken and milk together, chicken and cheese together. So hopefully your dogs, all those dogs that are washing their cholesterol, so they can have their chicken and cheese together rather than the beef and cheese together. So that would only be at worst the bas b'chalav d'rabbanan. And as a bas b'chalav d'rabbanan, it wouldn't be subject to an isser hanah. Those who want to be makil and use b'sar behemah, those who are not so careful, never heard of this, they just go and buy regular dog food off the shelf. And even though it's b'sar behemah, so they're relying on cheetah sarama. Remember years ago, I forget already which mall. One of the malls in around here. There used to be a pet store. They're closed since then. So when my kids were little, they would always like to walk around in the pet store. So I would take them. We never had Baksham. We never had any animals. We didn't buy. But they used to like to look around, see all the dogs and the cat, everything in the cages. So I would sometimes spend long times in the pet store. So what I would always do is I would always walk around to the different pet foods and try to remember which brands were chicken and which brands were meat. That way, when someone, every once in a while, I've gotten shouts over the years about Rabbi, which now you just go online and can see everything. But in the olden years, see, Rabbi had to remember which pet foods were the kosher ones, which were the treifa ones. So they were all the treifa ones. It's just the question ones, which were the bas b'chol, the raisa ones, which were the ones that are mutter to be net from bas b'chol. So that was one practical application of the shayla. We had a second practical application of the shayla. Was this goes back quite some time. Remember Rabbi Willig, I was once discussing the shayla with him. It happened to him that he was one of his. He used to have this thing in Riverdale called the baby of the year. The first baby that's born after January 1st, after midnight January 1st, is the baby of the year, first baby of the year. And you win a whole bunch of different gift certificates, kind of, Meshigasim. So go figure, one of his kids was born in the beginning of January, and he entered in, tackle one. I will deny that he was the one who entered it. Someone else in the family entered it. But whatever, he won. So his baby was the baby of the year. So I never forget, it was on the front page of the local newspaper. Mazel, I think it says, Mazel Tov, Rabbi's baby, a winner. So one of the many gifts that they received was a dinner for two to a certain restaurant in Riverdale that was called Donaghy Steakhouse. I don't know if it's still around anymore. Donaghy Steakhouse. What was a gewaltige mile of Donaghy Treifa place? Donaghy Steakhouse. Apparently, what the guy used to say is they made the best steaks all fried in butter. That was it. That's what he went to Donaghy's for, to get the steaks fried in butter. So Rabbi Willig was not going to go to Donaghy's to get the steaks fried in butter, but he wanted to know, can he give it to his cleaning girl? Can he give it to the non-Jewish lady to give it to her as a gift? So normally, if something is also b'hanah, so you're not allowed to give it to somebody as a gift, because by giving it to them as a gift, they're going to feel indebted to you. They'll do a better job cleaning your house. So that's considered to be somewhat of an indirect deriving benefit from a davar asa b'hanah. So can I give a gift certificate for steak and butter all fried together? Can I give that, or is that considered to be being nenef and bas b'chalav? So one could perhaps argue, based on this Rambam, that that's okay, because the steak, Donaghy's, was not getting glad kosher steaks. They were getting besan avela steaks. So one could argue, it's besan avela, just as the Rambam says, it's not also be achil mitam bas b'chalav, maybe it's not also b'hanah mitam bas b'chalav as well. So that's unclear. Not everybody accepts this Rambam. So the truth is, there may be other grounds to be a little bit more makel on the steaks and butter. We'll get to it a little bit later on in a different shiur. What's considered to be bishul for the purpose of bas b'chalav. But getting back to our story, the bottom line is, this is still an ongoing question, how bas b'chalav plays out in terms of how precisely do you define basa for the purposes of bas b'chalav. So we have two issues. The issue of oaf, which is a matriyah machlekes at the time, and we pass in the locha that's only the rabbanon. And then the second issue of besar, not hema tameh, but besar of of a kosher species, that's a besa nevela. So it is bas b'chola for bishul. It's not for achila. And the hanah is somewhat up in the air, whether the Rambam's premise is accepted or not, that when that the isra hanah emanates from the isra achila. So even though the Torah doesn't use the word basa, the Torah says lo sevasha gedi b'chola b'imo, the Torah Shema Peb b'piyashmo teaches us it means basar. And then you have to further break down to figure out what exactly basar means. Hopefully that's from next week. So we'll try to tackle the second half of the pasuk, what exactly the word cholov means. And once you have basar and have cholov together, then we can begin to discuss some of the details of the halacha in terms of what's called basar b'chol.
Look,
there's nothing wrong with being named from Trafus.
Right.
Trafus is looked about now.
Yeah.